We hear the word of God this morning from the gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 to 37, it's found on page 1028 in the church Bible. If I were to ask you what is the most famous, the most well-known of our Lord's parables, what would the answer be? Perhaps for some, the parable that would come to mind might be the parable of the prodigal son, found in Luke chapter 15, certainly a very well-known and well-loved parable. Others might think of the parable of the sower, which is found in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The sower who spreads the seed and lies on four different kinds of ground and leading to different results. But certainly one of the most well-known and well-loved parables is the one that we're going to look at this morning, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I don't think there's any question that this is one of the best known and loved of our Lord's parables. Now, our Lord Jesus told this parable as he was making his way towards Jerusalem near the end of his ministry. As Jesus was in the midst of his travels, he encountered a religious scholar, a teacher of the law, who was looking to test Jesus. That's something we often see in the Gospels. Remember, there were a number of religious leaders of Israel who were concerned about Jesus. They were concerned about his views on the Sabbath and the law. They were concerned about his teaching. And of course, Jesus wasn't opposed to the law at all. In fact, he fully embraced the law and kept the law as no person ever has. What it was that Jesus was opposing was the misinterpretations of the law and the additions that were being made to the law, the traditions that were being added to the law. But because of all this, because he opposed their interpretations, a number of religious leaders simply viewed Jesus as being against the law. And so here in our passage, we encounter this particular teacher who seeks to test Jesus. And all of this leads to our Lord's famous parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So let's look at the passage together. Luke 10, 25 through 37, we hear now the word of God. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Damascus to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning and for this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would help us to hear and confront us by the truth of your word. Help us by your Holy Spirit, O Lord, to understand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? That's the question that leads to the parable that Jesus tells us here in the passage this morning. Who is my neighbor? Now, this question was asked by a man whom Luke identifies as an expert in the law. This was a man who had received significant education and training in the law of Moses. He was a religious leader. He was almost certainly a man who would have been highly respected among the people of that day. This was the kind of person that you were supposed to look up to. And this expert in the law wanted to test Jesus. We're told that he stood up. He stood up in order to test him. It all begins in verse 25 with a question about eternal life. "Teacher," he says, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, if you're familiar with the Gospels, you may know that this is not the only time that our Lord Jesus was asked this question. The same question was asked on a different occasion by the man that we have come to know as the rich young ruler. Remember, the rich young ruler came up to Jesus. What did he ask him? He said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Same question, but here with this teacher of the law, the motive appears to be quite different. This legal expert is not making a legitimate inquiry. He's looking to test Jesus because he's likely quite concerned about Jesus' teaching and Jesus' understanding of such matters. But you'll notice our Lord doesn't stumble here. He doesn't falter. He simply responds by pointing this teacher of the law to the law, and to the law of Moses in particular. He says to the man, "What is written in the law?" He just says, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? What does the law say?" Who could object to that? And you'll notice that the man responds to Jesus by bringing up the two great commandments, the commandments that summarize the entire law. I read them earlier in the service this morning. He says to Jesus, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." This man goes to the law and he highlights the two commandments, the greatest and most important ones. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He refers to the two great commandments that which summarize the whole law. He identifies the commandments that make up the heart of God's law. Notice what Jesus says in response to him. He says, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." In other words, Jesus says, do this, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor, and it will go well with you. You will do this and you will be on the road to eternal life. Now, some people might wonder, what's Jesus saying here? Is he saying that keeping the commandments is the means of acquiring eternal life? Is he saying that by keeping the two commandments, we will thereby earn or merit salvation? Is this righteousness by works, salvation through the law? However, that's not the point here. By speaking of obedience to the two great commandments, Jesus is not speaking here of a way to earn salvation. Rather, he's speaking of the life of faith and obedience that flows from salvation. He's describing here the way of the believer. This is the way of faith and obedience that we are to walk in the covenant of God. He's describing the kind of life and obedience that flows from faith. He's speaking of the path of obedience that we as believers are to walk on the way to eternal life. As believers who have been saved by God's grace through faith, we are to love God and love our neighbor as we walk along the way to eternal life. However, the expert in the law was not finished with this matter. Both he and Jesus agreed on the two great commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. However, the teacher in the law then had a follow-up question. He says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, why did the man ask this question? Was it because of a genuine desire to embrace the commandment of God faithfully? Was it because of a genuine desire to love his neighbor? No, Luke tells us that he was wanting to justify himself. In other words, he was looking for a clear-cut answer that would allow him to say, okay, yeah, I've done that. Yes, I've kept this commandment. He did not ask the question because of a desire to know his neighbor so that he could show love to his neighbor. He asked this question in order to define the limits of his responsibility. under this commandment so that he could see, okay, this is what it is. This is what I need to do in order to keep the commandment of God. He was looking for an answer, an easy answer that would allow him to say, okay, yeah, I've done that. I've loved my neighbor. Nothing to worry about here. I've kept the letter of the law. He was looking for an easy answer that would allow him to keep the letter of the law rather than embracing the true spirit of the law. However, the teacher was certainly not prepared for the answer that Jesus gave him, because our Lord's response to the question, who is my neighbor, was to tell this powerful and challenging parable of the Good Samaritan. This is a very challenging and convicting parable. Our Lord in this parable is challenging the thinking of this teacher of the law. He's challenging his whole approach and the approach that was so prevalent among the leaders in Israel at that time. He is pointing them away from the letter of the law and calling upon them to embrace the true spirit of God's commandment. So let's look carefully at the parable together. This is Jesus' response to the question, who is my neighbor? There are two things I want us to see together as we look at it. Two things in particular. In the first place, I want us to see that in this parable, our Lord focuses upon being a neighbor or acting like a neighbor. The parable of the Good Samaritan is not really about who my neighbor is. That's what the teacher of the law asked with his question. The teacher of the law said, who is my neighbor? The law says I'm to love my neighbor as myself, so I need to know who my neighbor is so that I can keep the letter of the law. Who's my neighbor? But as Jesus responds with this parable, he doesn't really address that particular question, at least not directly. No, what Jesus focuses upon here is acting like a neighbor, being a neighbor. The question he answers is not who is my neighbor, but how can I be a neighbor? How can I act like a neighbor? How can I love like a neighbor? And part of the purpose of the parable is to make us ask the question, ourselves, do I act like a neighbor? Am I being a neighbor? Now let's notice how Jesus does this here. In the parable, we have a man, almost certainly a Jewish man, who is attacked as he travels from Jerusalem to Jericho. This, of course, was the kind of thing that could sometimes happen as people traveled those roads through Israel, especially if you were traveling alone. It could be dangerous. Jesus tells us that this man, as he traveled, fell among robbers who stripped and robbed him and beat him and basically left him for dead. He says that the man was left half dead. So what happened then? Well, Jesus tells us of three men who come by and see the man lying there on the road. First, there's a priest who comes by. He sees the man lying there, and he goes on his way. He goes to the other side of the road and passes by. The priest of Israel does nothing. And then second, we're told that a Levite comes by. Now, who were the Levites? Remember, they belonged to the same tribe, the tribe as the priests, and their responsibility was basically one of assistance for the priests. And what does the Levite do? He does the same thing as the first man. He does nothing. Now, why do these men do this? Well, Jesus, of course, doesn't go into the reasons that they may have had, whether they were rushed for time, whether they couldn't be bothered, whether they were worried about becoming ceremonially unclean by touching a dead man. Jesus doesn't go into any of that. It's all beside the point. And as the Lord speaks about these two men, it's very clear these two men are not acting like neighbors. They're not being neighbors to this poor man on the road. They're not living up to the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But then we come to the third man, the Samaritan, and what does he do? Look again at what Jesus says. I read beginning in verse 33. He says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Notice that. Notice how this Samaritan acts like a neighbor. There's compassion. When he sees the man lying there, he has compassion on him. He binds up his wounds and anoints them. He puts the man on his donkey and brings him to safety. And then he assures that this man will be cared for at his own expense. In other words, he lavishes this man with compassion. He doesn't give this man second best or third best. He doesn't say, I'll give you a little bit of help or just enough help to get by. Or I'm going to do enough to keep the letter of the law. No, he displays an overflow of mercy and kindness. He's good to this man. He acts like a neighbor to this poor man and loves this man even as he loves himself. The Samaritan acts like a true neighbor. You see, for the Samaritan, it's not a question of whether this man lying there on the street is his neighbor or not. He's not saying to himself as he sees this man, is this man my neighbor who I need to help? Does this man qualify as a neighbor, as a person that I'm supposed to love? He's not preoccupied with the letter of the law. No, he acts like a neighbor. He shows himself to be a neighbor to this man, and in doing such, he fulfills the spirit of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. He acts like a neighbor, and in doing so, he is living in step with the spirit of the commandment. And that's a big part of the point here. Don't spend a lot of time worrying about who your neighbor is or isn't in order to keep the commandment to the letter. Don't focus on the limits of your responsibility. Don't think in terms of defining the limits of your responsibility that I might keep the letter of the law. Don't worry about who your neighbor is so that you can love your neighbor. No, be a neighbor. Act like a neighbor towards everybody. Show compassion towards everybody. Overflow with compassion and mercy. Give yourself in mercy. Show kindness to strangers. Do good to people. Go over and beyond for the sake of others. Sacrifice for the sake of others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Think about those words for a moment. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the command that God gives us. That's what we're called to. We're to love our neighbors, not half-heartedly, but as ourselves. And we fulfill the command not by worrying about who our neighbor might be. Is this person here my neighbor? We don't fulfill this command by worrying and being preoccupied with the letter of the law, but by acting like a neighbor indiscriminately to all sorts of people. What about you this morning, brothers and sisters? Are you seeking to be a neighbor? Do you seek to be a neighbor to those you encounter? Do you, in the name of Jesus Christ, seek to show compassion and mercy and love to people that you encounter? Not just within the limits, but to overflow with such? Do you seek to lavish people with these things? To care for them as you care for yourself? Are you seeking to walk in the letter of this law, or are you seeking to live in step with the spirit of this commandment? To love as others as God has loved us? Are you seeking to be a neighbor? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, our Lord teaches us that we fulfill the spirit of the law, love your neighbor as yourself, by being neighbors to people, by acting like neighbors, not by worrying about who our neighbor is. So that's the first thing this morning. In the parable, Jesus focuses upon being a neighbor. But of course, there's more here. There's more to this parable. We've not yet addressed the issue that made this parable so challenging and surprising and really discomforting to the people who would have heard it. So let's turn to the second thing I want us to see this morning. In the second place, I want us to see the place that Jesus gives to the Samaritan in this parable. This is, after all, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what is important for us to see is that by speaking of a Good Samaritan, our Lord was, of course, challenging many of the religious and cultural assumptions that prevailed in Israel during his day. While this parable does teach us about being a good neighbor and loving our neighbor, it's important to recognize there's also a lot more going on here. Sometimes people think this parable is just about being a good neighbor. There's more to it than that. Note, as Jesus tells the parable and speaks of the three men who encountered the injured man on the street, he identifies those three men as a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. If Jesus had simply wanted to tell a parable about being a good neighbor, he could have told the parable differently. He might have said a first man came by, a second man came by, a third man came by, and the third man helped and showed compassion, dressed the wounds, and took him to the inn. But that's not what Jesus does here. It's not a first man, a second man, and a third man. It's a priest, a Levite, and then a Samaritan. And by telling the parable in this way, our Lord gives the story a whole new and rather shocking layer of meaning. This gives a sharp edge to the parable. Remember, the priest and the Levites were supposed to be the religious people, the leaders among the people, the exemplary and godly people in Israel. These were the respectable and honorable men, the religious people. They were the men that we were to look up to, that you were to look up to in Israel. And yet, what do we find? It was the priest and the Levite who left the man for dead. They didn't want to be troubled by this man and instead just walked to the other side of the road. These are the religious men of Israel, and yet here in the parable, they're not the ones fulfilling the spirit of the law of God. They're not loving their neighbor, not at all. And it's very obvious in the way Jesus tells the parable. And by speaking in this way, our Lord is making a very strong point about Israel's leaders in that day. It's a strong indictment against them. But that's not all that Jesus does here, of course. In our Lord's parable, the hero, the exemplary figure, the one who does what is right and who upholds the spirit of the law, turns out to be a Samaritan. A man who belonged to a people that the children of Israel had grown to despise. You know, in our day, it's become common to speak of good Samaritans. We do that because of the man Jesus speaks of in this parable. We use the expression, good Samaritan, to speak of a stranger who comes and helps someone at a time of need. For example, you might hear a person say something like this: the other day my car broke down, I was stranded by the side of the road, and then this good Samaritan came and rescued me. Also today, there are Christian ministries that use the word Samaritan. For example, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, heads up the ministry called Samaritan's Purse. In our day, it doesn't seem problematic to speak of a good Samaritan. In fact, we use that to speak of a person who is helpful and kind. That was not the case when Jesus told this parable, and it wasn't the case in first century Israel. When Jesus told this parable to his Jewish hearers, it was not at all obvious that a Samaritan could be admirable or exemplary. Remember, the Jews despised the Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered impure. They embraced parts of Jewish teaching, but not all of it. And so the Jews would have typically didn't want anything to do with them. We hear that in John chapter 4 when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman by the well. They didn't have dealings with the Samaritans. They were considered an impure, quasi-Jewish sect that they worshipped at Mount Gerizim rather than worshipping in Jerusalem. And yet here in the parable, it's the Samaritan who does right. It's the Samaritan who loves his Jewish neighbor lying half dead on the street. It's the Samaritan who embraces the spirit of the law and shows love to his neighbor. And it's the two Jewish leaders in the parable, the Levite and the priest, who are in the wrong. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how it was supposed to be, but Jesus has the Samaritan as the exemplary figure in the story. That's the scandalous and shocking thing about this parable. It's not the Jewish leaders who are in the right. It's not the religious leaders of Israel. It's not them. It's not they who are keeping the law and loving their neighbor. It's the Samaritan. It's the Samaritan who fulfills the law of God and the law of love and loves his neighbor as himself. It's the Samaritan who is walking in step with the spirit of the law. It's the Samaritan who is acting like a true believer in the Lord and who we may expect to inherit eternal life. And how our Lord's words must have stunned the people listening. To many of the people, what Jesus says here would have seemed so wrong. Here is the Samaritan is the man in the right, not the Jews. And then at the end of the parable, our Lord comes back to the teacher of the law who had questioned him. And there's no way that the man can escape the clear message of the parable. The man had sought to test Jesus. Well, now Jesus turns the tables on the man and asks him a difficult, for him, difficult question. Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Which of these three was a neighbor? What's this man to do? He can't say the priest or Levite. He knows, everyone knows, which of the men did right. It's clear. And so he says simply, doesn't say the Samaritan, he simply says, the one who showed him mercy. The conclusion was unavoidable. And then our Lord brings the matter to a close. He says to the man, you go and do likewise. In other words, he's saying, you go and act like this Samaritan. Go and fulfill the spirit of the law like the Samaritan. This Samaritan whom the Jewish people tend to despise. Go and love your neighbor like him. Go and act like a neighbor to all people like this Samaritan. It's a devastating conclusion. This man had asked, who is my neighbor? I need to know who my neighbor is in order to keep the law. And the Lord responds, not by saying, this person is your neighbor, or that person is your neighbor. His response is to be a neighbor like this Samaritan. Go and do like this man. And the further point that our Lord is making here is that God's work is clearly not limited to Israel as a people. The Lord is at work, is working in the hearts of non-Jews as well. The Lord is at work in people like this. Look at the Samaritan who is walking in the spirit of the law. Go and do likewise. And brothers and sisters, that's also the message for us this morning. Look at the Samaritan. And as you live by faith in the Lord, go and do likewise. Love your neighbor. Be a neighbor. Go and embrace the spirit of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as Christians today, we don't have tensions with literal Samaritans as the Jews did in the first century. And so to say, go and do likewise, go and do like the Samaritan, is of course not as provocative as it would have been for those who first heard Jesus. And so perhaps we might, as we think about this, Christians who are outside of our traditional circles, outside of the denomination, our own denomination or denominations with which we are comfortable. Maybe we might think of Christians who belong to a tradition that has been at odds with our Reformed traditions historically. Maybe we've had our differences, and yet, of course, there are undoubtedly people in those traditions who love the Lord and love Jesus Christ. We might think of Christians in the Eastern Orthodox churches or in the Roman Catholic churches. We have our differences with them, and some of those differences are important. But if there are believers, and if we see them upholding the spirit of the law, if they are loving the Lord and loving their neighbor and upholding the spirit of the law, the message is for us, well, do likewise. Go and do likewise. Love your neighbor as this person does. Loving our neighbor doesn't mean we try to figure out who our neighbor is. It means being a neighbor. We walk in the spirit of the law by being a neighbor to others. By grace through faith, we act as a neighbor to others like the Samaritan. Amen. Let us pray together. O holy and gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And for the message of this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that we would hear this word and that we would seek to live in this by faith in this way of gratitude and obedience. Help us, O Lord, not to be wrongly preoccupied with simply the letter of the law, but to embrace the law, to embrace the spirit of your commandments, and in particular, as we've heard this morning, to be a neighbor toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.